actions to show that they did. For example, I know members of Lord's Church, but multiple members of Lord's Church, who have been victimized, abused, and battered by spouse and parent. I also know those who suffered from verbal abuse and emotional abuse, which leave fewer visible marks behind, but perhaps that are really no less damaging. They're just wounds on the inside. I also know, according to information from just last summer, Carson Cooper, Brother Williams, presented startling information on just how often rape, date rape, and sexual assault happens among people under 40 years old, but not just among that age group. It happens outside the church, but it's plausible is how frequently it's reported as happening inside the church as well. You may not hear about it, but it's a fact that the right talk about it. But for some reasons, those need to be a little quiet, but they need to be addressed. Perhaps a student in Ithaca, New York, down the Cornell campus, it is a campus that is filled with high-powered professors and highly motivated, ambitious students. The campus itself is situated on the side of a hill that rolls down into a valley. The campus there is clad with gorges and crenellations that run down the hillside to the city below. There are some lakes and streams that are up high, and then the waters roll down those crenellations and gorges down the valley. Very beautiful. There are bridges that cross portions of campus leading from this part to this part. All that number of people walk and drive across those to get around. It's beautiful. Very beautiful. There is a phenomenon that is known as gorging out, and it is the situation that every once in a while there'll be the body of a young student that washes up down in the city below, and then gorged out. They have, in a fit of despair, maybe they didn't do well on exam, got a rejection letter about some future goals or aspirations, and they refer themselves out the way. I was there 2 years ago with my family, and they had erected, the city of Ithaca has erected, something fencing on the edges of these bridges, raising up high, specifically to stop people from throwing themselves in there. So people talk about, and deal with issues of disappointment, dissatisfaction, due to other circumstances, chemical problems inside the blood, whatever it may be. Those are real issues. And then I had one woman who, she found out that she and her family had been abandoned by her husband when she went to pick them up from at the airport for their business trip overseas. He did not be paid. She made some phone calls, found out he had been unemployed for a long time, nearly a year, but had been making trips overseas on his own nickel, somehow he'd bought. On this particular occasion, he did not come back to the continent of the United States. He abandoned her. It's been about 15 years. He still has never set foot, to my knowledge, but on pregnant lips. So here's a young mother who has suddenly got to deal with her own emotional trauma and problems, the sense of abandonment. She has two young children she's got to think about suddenly caring for. That's a real issue. And it may seem like it only happens in novels and storylines and television movies, but that is not, in fact, the case. Suddenly, this doesn't happen often enough for us to talk about what we're going to do with the spouse. When those things are brought to our attention and realized for them, we have to be prepared. We also see it happening often enough that we have to teach in an attempt to prevent these types of occurrences from arising. Let's hold them off at the pass so that these don't have to be experienced by those people. I want to speak to four different audiences today. The first one is I want to speak to the victims. In a world of this size, with those people, even at the church background, I'll be surprised if there's not at least one or two persons in here who have been the victims of rape, sexual assault, abuse of some sort, abandonment, or you have contemplated in taking your own life at some point. I'll be surprised if you have seen it. The second group that I want to address is the family members who are having some of their loved ones who face these types of things. Well, we just cast the net more widely, because now, I know there have to be people in here. But our family members are very, very close friends who have dealt with these types of things. What is it that you can do to be a help and not a hindrance in a very, very volatile, challenging circumstance? Finally, number three, I want to talk to the preachers, I want to talk to the ministers, and the church leaders who help people cope with these types of things. You are the ones who are sought after. People try to bring you in, and you want to have something that you can do. aqui. Ele passa esse teste. Também lembra da lista de ácido, uma lista de ácido first two groups. But that's something from that discussion I had this morning. Never mind, to the victims. If you suffer the sorts of things this morning, I want you to know up front that I understand we're trying to talk rationally about the fact that this gets very much of a part of your ration. I know that. I also recognize, as I speak with you this morning, that we're talking about a topic and that you swallowed up, perhaps, or have been swallowed up by this occurrence. And people in that situation don't always think clearly. And what is that? Because the turmoil and the chaos that goes on inside the mind. But I do want to encourage you, strive this morning to give you and to encourage you to possess a healthy perspective on what's happened and where you can go from here. For example, number one, I remind you that these occurrences do not have to define you. You will never forget that this has happened. You'll never forget. But you wouldn't have to be a perpetual victim. You can address this, and you can move forward, and you can leave it in the past without having poison the present or the future. One little out of sense of optimism. Number two, let me remind you that there are other people who suffer these terrible things and they have gone on to live full and blessed lives. I appreciate that the gospel, the Bible, tells us about things like that. For example, in Genesis chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, it was Dinah, Jacob's daughter. She was rather wrecked by Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite. I would encourage a response like that of Jacob and his sons, and they would try to balance the response. But here's a woman who suffered this, and yet she was able to move on, find a life, and have a good life in God's sight. And then the other Christians suffered abuses, maltreatment at the hands of various people, including at the hands of our brother Paul. And yet they could continue and live and rejoice about the gift of life, even if it's back at moments that do occasionally. And as the people did break their expectations, and maybe that they've had and given others, and maybe you've experienced that. The gospel is admitted in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 by a remembering spouse, true, but by a new belief, that's true. But that doesn't mean that God is not there, and God doesn't care, and that there aren't some possibilities to make things right. If you're suffering with this morning, maybe the challenge is mine. If you want some modification, you want some bad news, or something that's caused you to want to despair. That is a chemical imbalance in the brain. Even my brain is an organ. You can suffer from needs and assistance just like the heart, the lungs, or anything else. Not that enough there are resources that are available to help you. And you do not have to be swallowed up by these problems. Maybe you're into self-abuse. Cutting? Burning? Very common, especially among younger people. That's the manifestation. It's no resolution. I want to encourage you to seek resolution. The type of someone that you can respect, whom you know will listen to you, do not let the problem go on. It is unnecessary to let it go on without having it addressed. And solve the root problem, and those types of things can be put to rest. I encourage you to do that. I hope you take the Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning, because the next thing that I want to say is, not only can you go on without having this define you, not only are we encouraged by the fact that other people have survived these things and been blessed afterwards, but we even have one who shows us the way most fully, and that is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2, I'm about to start reading in verse number 18. commit himself to them. He would lay the ground before the ultimate responsible agenda. He would handle justice appropriately. But Jesus did not allow this to define him or give up and God around for other people to have a negative outcome. He did not do that. And this is the same Jesus who picked his apostles up with encouragement in John chapter 16, verse 33, and says, "I have overcome the world."
Something like that. God's love in him, God doesn't even help me say with words. So that part is okay.
To the man, sorry for the style, it's not even talking about it now. To the man, I love it to the boss. You do not have to turn every possible solution to the problem. You do not have to offer vows every time you sit down with this other person. What you might have to do instead is just listen. television programs and best-selling books is the theme of revenge. Now, I've not seen an episode of it. It's not on my watch list, but in the ABC, that's the network that has a television program that is entitled Revenge. They didn't put that on there because it bombs in the ratings. People like to hear that. But it's settings that have entered our language to talk about that. Don't get mad, get even. Revenge, what is it? It's a dish that's best served cold. And those are the genteel expressions of intent. What? My questions are like this.
I'm going to kill him. I swear I'll kill him. I'll see him when I do it.
That is a person who needs to get self under control and see all previous comments that we have made. Do not fall into that trap. Why is that to like this? Such a great piece of advice for all of life, especially crisis moments. Overcome evil with good. And that requires maturity. It requires a commitment to God and to His principles.
Problem number three.
The minister didn't watch the church leader. You may have wondered, you know, this is a Christian workshop, a ministry workshop, and they thought, well, I've got to those figures. The truth is, I already have. What I've been doing is modeling, perhaps, some of the things that we can say to the first two groups when needed. I have no doubt that you can take these comments that I've offered up to this point, and you will augment them with very good thoughts from your study group experiences. I hope. And in fact, that's to be expected. But take those elements and think, how can we reach out? And then I offer specifically a few words to preachers, to church leaders, and so forth. The first piece of advice here is this one. There's a key phrase in the mental health community that I think bears repeating, and it's this. When in doubt, find it out. When in doubt, find it out. What does that mean? It means, first of all, know the limits of what you can successfully address as a primary resource. And no doubt, people in this room may be every person, every adult in this room, could explore Acts 2:38. Romans chapter 6, verses 3-5. Talk about how to become a Christian. You've studied it, you've had that conversation repeatedly, you know how to answer questions that come to you, you have experience and expertise in this. But do you have expertise when somebody comes and knocks on your door and says they're contemplating suicide? You know exactly what process to follow in that situation. How can you come and say that they have an abusive spouse who's been beating them down and their children? I remember like the man who came to my office and he sat down and he said, I've got no plan. He just came in from the Austin community, right? He said, I hear voices in my head telling me to hurt children. Sound like a nice guy. And you know what? I have much appreciation for him. Why? Because he came to me and said, I have an issue and I really, really want help. He said, I do not want to do any of those kinds of things. And what I did is, is that my way? But I don't know what a mental health facility buys downtown.
Near Caesar Chavez.
We got in the car after
service that morning. We took off
and went down there. We brought him in. And I'll never forget, I sat there with them. And one of the persons inside, the response to people coming in and asking for help, sat down. And this fellow had kind of a little tick in his eye.
He was kind of, and it was a little
flutter. And the guy looked at him and said,
I don't know if you've been off your medication. He said, well, weeks of them out or whatever.
You know, I don't want to ask that question. I could ask for something, right? You see, this guy had experience and I know exactly what to do. But when in doubt, right, turn it over to someone who is prepared to be handling somebody that's not going to leave. One of my great friends, I love him so much, he's one of the elders here at course, it's based on privacy laws and minister of the gospel. The church leader, you have responsibilities for privacy issues. Make sure you know what those are. If you're from outside of Texas, look in the state where you live in Texas, have certain expectations. You can find the New York Times website for the Texas state government and so forth. Make sure you respect privacy when you deal with other people. Maybe you can identify in advance who this other resource is going to be. Now, that's a brother or sister who's a psychologist or a counselor. They not only know the scriptures, but they also have experience talking with people and tying these blind maps that seem, you know, to be a part of the situation. Go talk with them in advance. Ask if you can use them as a resource. Now, if there's not a brother or sister in the faith who is a person like this in the area where you live and work, it doesn't mean that you don't have some personal resources available. What you can do is you can find a counselor or a licensed or healthy senior therapist in your community or area, perhaps home. Now, not many of us in Christian will agree that they will help a client with respect to the client's own values and belief system. That was the situation we had here in St. Michael's. In fact, that's part of our conversation with Betty. He said, this is the person I'm referring to. My name of the Lord's church will fully respect the biblical principles because that's the client and their belief system. And that's actually the ethical thing to do for a counselor or a therapist. But find such a person and go talk to them and see what you might be able to do in terms of using them as a resource. If you're going to ask them what you can do to get that supporting help, I'm sure they'll tell you. They're not going to be unhappy about sharing that with you. But what I want you to know is that you can provide support. You can offer prayers. As a preacher of the gospel, you're expected to talk about biblical principles, so you're feeling the good words of the gospel that people meditate upon day and night. That's the blessed person. Doesn't mean your life is without challenges. They can still be blessed because you're feeding them God's principles. You can listen. Let you know. By no means is your aim, even as a somewhat inexperienced person in my situation, by no means is your aim worthless. Number two, you may decide that you want to train or prepare yourself to be able to answer increasingly challenging situations like this. That is something that is needed in dealing with people outside the faith. But I'm going to tell you that is something that is needed for dealing with people in the church. Because we are not immune to the depredations of Satan and sin. And so we face these challenges wondrously. And remember, the church is filled with people who come from the outside world. What baggage do they bring? What is in your past that is everybody has to be conquered and overcome, right? So you might decide that you want to help prepare yourself for that. Read a course in Southwest that is entitled specifically. Dedicate a course. Principles of biblical balance. And I so appreciate John Moore for teaching that class. We talk about community counseling, what you do, how people get married, the handle of problems in their eyes and marriage. We talk about how do you handle the situation when somebody says, I've been thinking about ending my life. We had a guest speaker from last summer talking to our student body faculty members and our elders about what to do when we suspect abuse is occurring with children, adults, or you want to know how prevalent this is, elder abuse, elder that people abuse physically, financially, and emotionally, mentally. There are specific things to do. We went through a mock situation called up by a man from the state and learned how to handle one. And they gave us a mock run-through on what you would do. They learned what it involves and what it doesn't. It was empowering for us to be a resource for other people. It's worth the time, in my opinion, just in general, worth our time as preachers and church leaders. But another thing that you might can do is we can address this matters preemptively. Preemptively. It's before people get into these types of circumstances, if they can at all be avoided. For example, in the sermons, the Bible classes, books, articles, conversations, reading lessons, whatever venue you have available to you, you can talk about. Making sure that we make good and wholesome choices so that we don't put ourselves in situations where evil is likely. One of the things about date night and sexual assault is sometimes people put themselves in a place where they don't belong. I'm not at all surprised. You've got a lot of fraternity and young people whose hormones are roaring and roaring and raging, and then you put alcohol and drugs and other things, and then you wonder why bad things happen, because that was a recipe for bad things to happen. So we'll tell people in advance, be very, very careful where we put ourselves. We don't have to be a victim some of that they can, run back cycles of instruction. They can move out and then find the truth. Maybe someone comes in about how they run, taken out of their songs, and they wonder if they can ever return. And you preach them a God of hope, love, and forgiveness, a God of fresh starts. Allow the fact that we serve a God who wants to rise above the circumstances and end up in a better place. That's 5 and 6. This is 9 through 11. The kingdom of heaven is not in here, but it's figures like the temples and the baptisms and the verses of the South have been tried. The best part of that is verse 11. Such mercy of you that's a statement of what is in the past, that's a statement about correcting the problems of crisis, and a move forward in great direction. People ought to hear empowering messages about leaving evil and its terrible influences behind. With God, brethren, I'm convinced it's less about where we have been and more about where we are now at this point and where we go from here. Yes, there are things to address. How? And why? And why is it in the middle? That's a great message to preach. Let us remember the great advice from our brother Paul. He was an abuser. But I became a victim for the sake of Jesus Christ. And I want to come as we close, and we have 18 seconds. I want to come as I'm solitary. You may never have heard about that name, but I guarantee you heard the first words of this poem. It's by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. But after the world laughs with you, weep, and you weep alone. For the shadow of death must bow its mouth, but has trouble enough of its own. Sing, and here is the answer. Sigh, it is lost in the air. The apple is bound to a joyful sound, but shake from voicing care. But just the men will seek you, brave, and they turn and go. They want full measure of all their pleasure, but they do not need your will. Be glad when your friends are known. Be sad when you lose them all. By a man to the crown, they make your mind, but alone, you must drink life's bottle. At that moment, I have in my mind the image of the cross that Paul saw, and Jesus drank of their blood. Feast in the house of crowd, and fast in the world by its bread. Succeed in death, will help the left, but no man can help you die. There's room in the house of pleasure for a mind and more betrayed. But one by one, we must all find our way through the narrow aisles of pain. Well, I don't know that I'm missing any best. Everything Miss Wilcox says in here, and I don't have to get the essence of something powerful. Too many times, people struggle with difficulties and problems, and they feel abandoned, alone, no one cares, no one understands. They'll never forgive me. I can never be free of this. I can't have a fresh start. There's no way to go from here, so I'm not going to go anywhere. And that's the end. What a tragic, tragic, tragic place to occupy, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. The fact that that's all the future holds is negative and not. And now, those words of Paul, rejoice with those who rejoice. And you weep with those who weep. And my prayer for us now is that God may help us and our brethren may help us to live righteously ourselves.